Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Tonight's guest is Dr. T. Lee Bauman. And if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number is 888-815-9756, or you can instant message the studio at Signs of Life Radio on AIM. And good evening to you, Bob.
Hello, Fran. You keeping warm in this?
Oh my goodness, I haven't seen this much snow since I was a little kid.
Well, yeah, I was driving back today. I looked at my son John. I said, "Boy, it's like living in the North Pole. You can't see anything. It's piled up."
Well, the poles are shifting. You know that.
Yeah.
There's already documentation. We're approaching the end of the Mayan calendar, and the North and South Pole are shifting. So, of course, the climate's going to change.
Yeah. I know we're starting a new thing this week.
On this radio show, tonight's show, we're going to start a new thing. We just got such a positive reaction to the healing that everyone, I can't tell you how many emails came in, not just from people who were supporting the healing energy that we did for Janet Mayer last week, but were then forwarding it to their email lists or healing groups that they knew, and it was just unbelievable. But also, we learned that there are many people out there that are in need of healing. And so what we've decided to do, we talked about it, and not like we're going all new age on everybody, but we've created a very brief little prayer to the universe to bring healing to people who might need it, and we're compiling a list. So if we have listeners, members, people who know other people who would like to be added to the list, they only need to send us an email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. We'll be happy to mail you to the list. Also, once they are ready to come off the list, we'd like to know that as well.
So I guess why don't we send our healing wishes now?
Okay, let's start it now.
Okay.
And I'll read it, and then I'll read the few names that we're starting off with.
Okay.
May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Chuck Rocket, Vicky Steffi, Janet Mayer.
Okay, and of course, we do this because it's as Fran mentioned, it's not a strictly a New Age concept. This concept of healing is cutting-edge science. There have been many experiments having to do with the power, not only the power of prayer, but the power of intention, you know, to heal, whether it be a simple bacteria or a plant or other organisms. And they have control groups, and lo and behold, healers can affect the outcome, you know, whether it be a sick plant or a deformed cell or cancer cell. So this is something that may eventually be a new the new wave of healing. You know,
right? And I think almost every recent documentary that is oriented around any type of unseen forces always seems to include some experiment or another that shows the success in healing. And I think there's quite a few of them on that last one that we discussed, Something Unknown is Doing I Don't Know What, which is an excellent video.
Documentary, yeah.
Documentary for people to watch.
Yeah. So the theory behind this is we'd like to read the names of people that could use some of it, and we are a sort of a close-knit community and like-minded people that are open to these things. So, you know, when we mention the names each week, try to send a little healing light their way, and you never know the effects that it's going to have. You know, I've been reading a lot recently, and I don't know, the last two or three books that I've read talk about how the universe very often conspires is a poor choice of words.
Yeah, very poor.
the universe somehow has a way of changing our lives, you know, whether it be in synchronicities, or I'm going to give you an example.
Which some of us believe.
Yeah, some of us believe. I mean, some of them thinking about that. So I guess, you know, what they're talking about is, I mean, let's say that I'm driving down the road and I've never had a flat tire in my life, and I get a flat tire and I just happen to be driving by a tire store at the same time, and I pull into the tire store and they're able to fix my tire, and while I'm there, I meet somebody who I turns out to be my future wife, and I meet the love of my life. So if I told that story to you, you would say, well, you know, this is obvious that the things were put into play, maybe we were guided by spirit, and therefore it's something that appears that we didn't have any hand in, but others unseen did have a hand in it. But then I say to myself, well, what about all the negative?
Okay, somebody would say to you,
yeah.
So then you didn't have the flat tire, and you didn't walk in there, and you remained single for the rest of your life.
Right. So, could be. Well, what happens even worse? I mean, let's say I'm driving, and I get a flat tire, and I hop out of the car, and I get hit by a car, and I get severely injured, you know, and I wind up suffering, you know. So.
Well, this is the concept of multiple dimensions, is that every time we make a choice, every time we change the course of where we're going, we create another dimension.
Yeah.
So in one dimension, you're single. The other dimension, you're happily married to your soulmate. And in yet another dimension, you're a paraplegic someplace.
Oh, there are many, you know, possible outcomes, and maybe they all coexist at the same time. You know, also, I mean, the other explanation that I would hear from people is that, and I know that's something that you would say to me, is that, well, you know, perhaps the universe did cause or that unhappy event or that hurtful event because it was some sort of a pact that I may have made before I incarnated into this life.
See, I think there's a mix. I think there's a mix of things that are part of a pattern that we kind of get onto that path, and sometimes we're off the path and we're creating our own stuff. And then we are brought back to the path and we're doing what the universe has intended to us. So I think there's a lot of free choice, free will, which then trigger other things to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a whole subject of another show. So I think it's a good time. We have a wonderful guest tonight who will be coming on right after the break, Dr. Lee Bauman, a medical doctor, who will be able to explain his theory of how we connect to spirit worlds through our bodies. So let's go to a break, and when we come back, we'll have Dr. Bauman join us, and you're welcome to call in with your questions.
On Saturday, February 6th, 2011, in Laguna Hills, California, Bob and Fran Ginsberg, founders of Forever Family Foundation and medium Janet Mayer, will speak at a public forum sponsored by the International Foundation for Survival Research. The Ginsbergs will discuss their work and personal experiences pointing to life after death. Janet Mayer will discuss the ancient language she speaks, followed by a demonstration of spirit communication in the audience. For information, email elizabethmcadams@expbeyond@aol.com. That's Elizabeth McAdams at expbeyond@aol.com.
Thank you. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. T. Lee Bauman. Our sponsor is the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.windbridge.org.
And we're happy to welcome today's guest. Dr. Lee Bauman is a medical doctor in internal medicine, geriatrics, and medical management. He also happens to be an author and a lecturer. His first book was God at the Speed of Light, which helped to inspire the TV series Joan of Arcadia, for those who are fans of that show. And he's also the author of a book we're going to be discussing tonight, Matter to Mind to Consciousness. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bauman.
Well, thank you, Bob, and hello, Fran. I know you're there somewhere.
I'm here.
You know, I think, Dr. Bauman, it's fair to say that most of your neuroscientist colleagues would fail to connect the physical brain with spirituality or any paranormal phenomena. So was there a particular life experience that you had that started you to investigate such things?
Well, that's a great question, Bob, and the answer is no. I was practicing medicine in the mid-1970s as a geriatric doctor, taking care of the elderly, and an internal medicine specialist. So I was dealing with a lot of death and dying. I was an atheist at the time, and I, for whatever reasons in life, I became interested in quantum physics, specifically Einstein's special theory of relativity. And about the same time, Raymond Moody's landmark book on the near-death experience called Life After Life came out, and it fascinated me because as practicing physicians and dealing with resuscitations, you were always wondering if, you know, what else was going on. I remember at one point in my training, an older doctor said, now, be careful what you say, you know, around people who are unconscious and you're resuscitating, because you never know, you know, what might be going on. And those words were just so provocative, and I now firmly believe that that's the case, having read about so many near-death experiences. But yeah. No, other than just a curiosity for life and what might linger after death, and science actually were the main catalysts. It's so interesting because science throughout my training was what convinced me there was not a God. And when I became interested in quantum physics and near death, it ends up that science now is what convinced me there is a God. So that's my story in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, it is true. You know, today there are quite a number of physicists who are sounding very spiritual when you talk.
Yes, exactly.
That's something that's kind of unique and didn't exist a while ago. It's funny you mentioned Dr. Moody because, we had him on the show recently, and when I was talking with him, he didn't find a tremendous amount of resistance when he started studying near-death experiences. He went to medical school after he had taken an interest in that. And
yes.
I think he provided a portal for a lot of these his colleagues, his medical colleagues, to open up and share for the first time with somebody that wasn't going to judge him.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And in fact, if you've ever met Dr. Moody, he's just so friendly and open. And for some people, I'm sure he represents almost a father figure. And he really conveys the sense of friendliness and openness where I think so many people who would not have felt comfortable to disclose such intimate details about their afterlife, to many people, felt comfortable doing it with him.
Mm. You know, when I, your book, Matter to Mind to Consciousness, works towards a theory that unifies a lot of different paranormal phenomena, but I remember, as a child, always questioning why my heart kept beating. Where was the batteries kept?
So really,
I think most of us don't generally think of our bodies as producing, electromagnetic energy. So,
right.
Does this energy exist throughout our bodies, or is it limited to our brains?
No, I was actually fascinated to find that probably one of the first organ systems, which was found to generate basically radio waves or electromagnetic waves, was our heart. And so it's interesting that you mentioned that. And it's because, of the two organs in our body that really generate electrical potentials, the heart is one, as we can readily see when we look at an electrocardiogram, those little squiggles on a piece of paper. So we know it's, like you say, it's basically a battery unto itself. You've got these little pacemaker cells in the heart tissue that, once a second or so generate an electrical impulse, which causes our heart to beat. So we've always known that it was more or less an electrical-type organ. The brain, we always knew that it had electrical activity because of the electroencephalograms, but again, another set of squiggles on a piece of paper that many of us relate to people with seizures. We've seen pictures of these electroencephalograms in books or EEGs, but we never knew that any of these waves really went beyond our body. So those are stories really in and unto themselves, the findings that various organs such as the heart and the brain actually release these radio waves into the space around us.
And these waves can be measured?
They actually can. Now, the brain, the heart waves are actually much stronger than the brain waves. The brain waves, they actually had to shield subjects within metallic rooms to block out all of the radio signals coming from Mother Earth and from outer space and whatnot. So that was really a challenge to actually be able to measure those waves. But once having measured them, they found that they could radiate into the space around us and actually well beyond because of some scientific phenomenon that exist out in our atmosphere.
Mm. So as I understand it from reading the book, you started to question why certain nerve endings, I guess dendrites in particular, you know, appear to be isolated and didn't make any specific connections, and you wondered why that would be. So,
yes.
So the theory is that such dendrites in our nervous system actually serve as antennas that may allow us to keep us connected to a universal consciousness. Is that?
That is my theory, yes.
Okay. So that would explain things like near-death experiences and dreams and out-of-bodies and so forth.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. So then that would be, we would be acting as both a receiver and a sender of information?
Yes, yes.
Hmm. Now, would that, what kind of signal is that? We're talking about electromagnetic waves?
Yes. Basically, radio waves are a narrow spectrum within the entire electromagnetic spectrum. Mm. The electromagnetic spectrum includes everything from cosmic rays to X-rays, including visible light, and then into microwaves, TV waves, radio waves, and lastly, probably some of the longest waves, but the least powerful, are what are known as ELF waves. That's ELF, standing for extremely low frequency waves, and those are the waves that our brains generate.
Okay. So then what I'm trying to reason out is that how would survival fit into this picture? Because if your physical body, if your heart, if your spinal column or your brain are sending signals that are received, and you don't have a body in spirit, wouldn't that tend to disprove the survival theory?
I'm not sure I understand your question, Bob.
Okay, so what we are able to communicate with the universe and from our physical bodies facilitate that.
Okay.
Right? The electrical, extremely low frequency waves that are sent out from our body.
Right.
But how does spirit communicate with us? I mean, can they also emit, ELF?
Okay, I understand, and again, a beautiful question. The connection is that let's take an example of the near-death experience.
Right.
Although there are a lot of other phenomenon which I could say the same thing for, but in the near-death experience, in that one example, spirits are seen as beings of light. God, Christ, if you're a Christian, guiding spirits, dead, deceased relatives, they're all seen as beings of light in the near-death experience.
Right.
There are stories of similar phenomenon in other paranormal events. So the connection is that light is what physicists refer to as an analogous term to electromagnetic radiation. So when we say light in the physics world, you're basically talking about electromagnetic waves or ELF waves or radio waves. They're all forms of electromagnetic radiation. So with just using that one example, the fact that our brains and bodies are emitting a form of light in the form of ELF waves, I believe that spirits of light are equally able to communicate with us as light beings. So I think that would be the common analogy in how we're able to communicate with God, dead spirits, angels, and just knowledge in general throughout the universe.
Well, that certainly makes sense to me. I mean, reading the reports from near-death experiences, very often they talk about light in terms of being all-enveloping.
Exactly.
And actually communicating with the light.
Exactly.
So, so that does seem to tie in. Do you believe that there is a you know, a cosmic consciousness, like a storehouse of information that we access through our antennas, so to speak?
I do, Bob. I feel that, and in fact, science backs this up, which is, you know, one reason I got into writing this book. We know that all forms of electromagnetic radiation are basically eternal. And the reason for that is that they are forms of light. Now, once light goes into outer space, it is traveling, obviously, at the speed of light, and unless it runs into something material, if it runs into, you know, a wall, it's absorbed. But if it doesn't, it will basically go on forever. Now, we also know that at the speed of light, time does not exist. And that's that was one of Einstein's theorems, which has been proven subsequent to that theory many times over. Time does not exist for the light wave. And the conflict between us as humans that live within the dimension of time is often very difficult to understand because we see all forms of light as traveling, you know, at a set speed, i.e. the speed of light.
Right.
But if you're a light wave, you can basically travel the universe many times over, and your clock never ticks. It always stays frozen at whatever time it was, and it's theoretical. A single light wave can travel the universe and be omnipresent or everywhere at the same time. And that's an attribute we usually have reserved to describe God. So we know that any form of light or electromagnetic radiation, once it goes out into the universe, it becomes part of that eternal, ever-present network that we can conceivably communicate with if there are other beings also generating similar waves.
Hmm. So if we're essentially beings of light, you know, and time doesn't exist, you know, for a light wave, then that explains why some of us seem to be able to transcend time and space.
Well, for psychics, they seem to have that gift.
Yeah.
Now, as most of us humans, because we are locked within this material world and we live within the dimension of time, we really don't easily have the ability to access that cosmic consciousness out in the universe. For myself, you know, it might be an event that only happens every 5 or 10 years, say. If I walk into a room and I say, boy, this, you know, I feel like I've been here before. Or you have a dream that comes true. Or you get one of these creative ideas and you ask yourself, where did that come from? I mean, you know, that's just something I would never have thought of. I am hypothesizing that some of these ideas and some of these events are occurring because we are connecting at erratic times with the cosmic consciousness.
Mm. And do you have any theory as to why certain people, mediums, mystics, you know, shamans, you know, are able to communicate more often? Is it some sort of a frequency match? Do they have more antennae?
It could be any of those, Bob.
Yeah.
And again, you know, I'm just speculating at this point because obviously no one knows. But
right.
I tend to just want to simplify it and say they've got a gift.
Right.
I think all of us have certain gifts, you know, for certain attributes, whether it be an artist or music or whatever, and psychics seem to have that one special gift.
Mm. Do you subscribe to the theory that our brains act as a filter of information, you know, that we're constantly surrounded by this cosmic consciousness and this storehouse of information, but in order to navigate our physical lives, we have to be able to filter it, and is that where the brain comes in?
I think most what we consider normal individuals are able to filter the information. We're able to filter the good from the bad. If you and I get a heinous thought or something which is just, you know, ridiculous, you know, we get a thought to run out and kill the next door neighbor or something, we say, okay, it's one of these crazy thoughts, and we're able to dismiss it. We're able to disregard it and forget about it, you know, for the most part. And people with certain forms of mental illness, I feel, are not able to do that. And that's why we have crazy people going out and, you know, shooting innocent people. That's why we have some of the elderly who are able to talk to Aunt Martha or Uncle Joe. And I'm, even as a physician, I'm not so sure they aren't actually talking to those dead relatives of theirs.
Right.
So I think most of us are able to filter the good from the bad. Others with certain mental illnesses are not. Obsessive-compulsive disorder is a great example where they get these intrusive ideas and they cannot get rid of them.
Yeah, and I think that many of your colleagues or and people in the mental health field that have experience in hospice will tell you very quickly that that it's real, that people, you know, are talking to deceased relatives because they see it all the time. You know,
every once in a while I had a patient where you would just get goosebumps and chills up your spine because you really thought they were talking to someone. I mean, their conversation was so rational, it didn't appear to be coming from a senile person. And those were the times where you really wondered if what we were calling hallucinations in the field of medicine weren't perhaps a closer view of reality than you and I typically experience.
Yeah, and I remember reading that that you once volunteered your science and spirituality expertise to hospice.
I did. Yes, in fact,
you were turned down. Right.
I produced a small manual, which, in very simplistic lay terms, summarizes my research over the last 35 years, and I believe so strongly in my science-based spirituality. I did. I volunteered my services, and I was just shut down. I couldn't believe it.
That surprised you, I imagine, right?
It really did.
Yeah. So, you know, tell us about the manual. I mean, this is it's a manual for patients or patients and their families, or.
Well, I guess I have a bit of I don't know if you'd want to call it egotistical side or narcissistic side, but. But when I got that rejection at the hospice, I reacted because I felt there was a need. And having been a practicing physician, I still feel that there was a need. So my reaction was to take all of these scientific concepts and reduce them into a very simplistic manual. It's really only like 60 pages long. Very simple terms that anyone can understand, arguing how science has basically proven that there is an afterlife using a lot of the concepts that we've discussed tonight. So that was really the reason for my writing it, just trying to boil everything down to concrete, understandable terms.
Right. How does one get that manual? Is it on Amazon? Or?
Well, thank you for asking. It is on every book-selling site on the Internet.
Okay. What's it called?
Well, the reviewers state that they often feel they've read the first chapter by just reading the title.
Right.
So it has a long title, but yeah. The first several words are non-denominational, because it's for any religious belief.
Right.
Non-denominational quantum spirituality, lay manual, and then it goes on for hospice patients and their families.
All right. So my recommendation is, because nobody's going to remember that title.
Exactly.
Non-denominational address, Google, you know, on Amazon, put in, Lee Bauman.
Exactly.
L-E-E, and the last name is Bauman, B-A-U-M-A-N-N. Now, we do have a link on our website to Dr. Bauman's book that we're talking about tonight, Matter to Mind to Consciousness. If that's a title you can remember, but you could just click on the link on our website or in the email that you get.
Had I known about the other manual, I would have put that on there too.
Yeah, well, you can. Amazon, I would imagine, will be on the same page. So
it is. Right,
yes. Yeah.
Amazon does a good job.
I will get it up on the website.
Oh, well, you're very kind.
Well, yeah, I'm going to get a copy myself. I'd love to read it. I think now what we'll do is we will take our short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk. There's a lot more to talk about with Dr. Bauman, so stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
On Saturday, February 6, 2011, in Laguna Hills, California, Bob and Fran Ginsberg, founders of Forever Family Foundation, and medium Janet Mayer, will speak at a public forum sponsored by the International Foundation for Survival Research. The Ginsbergs will discuss their work and personal experiences pointing to life after death. Janet Mayer will discuss the ancient language she speaks, followed by a demonstration of spirit communication in the audience. For information, email elizabethmcadams@expbeyond@aol.com. That's elizabethmcadams@expbeyond@aol.com.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
If you're just tuning in, our guest here tonight is Dr. T. Lee Bauman. This show is sponsored by the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.windbridge.org. If you're a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. With these hard economic times upon us, some of our supporters write to say they love the radio show and they want to see it continue. They love the work of Forever Family Foundation, but they just don't have extra dollars these days to send our way. Even though we are a 100% volunteer not-for-profit organization, it still takes a lot of money to do the work we do. And yet, we want to do so much more. So this is how everyone can help without sending us money. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that is taken out. And each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. But you don't have to stop there. If your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find your items in one of their 800-plus online stores, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. We have a new event coming up in New York on March 25th. That's a Friday night from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Forever Family Foundation Conference Room in Oceanside. It's Connecting with Your Child Across the Veil. It's for bereaved parents, grandparents, and adult siblings. For just 10 children in spirit, it will be conducted by Forever Family Foundation certified medium, Laura Lynn Jackson. You can find all the information on the website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org, where you can also find our new Holiday of the Earth raffle, win a one-hour phone medium reading with one of five certified mediums, Bobby Allison, Laura Lynn Jackson, Lynn LeClaire, Dave Campbell, or Kathy Towle. It's $5 a chance, and as they say, you've got to be in it to win it. Also, hold the date open, May 20th to 22nd, 2011, in Chester, Connecticut, for our Grief Transformation Weekend. Watch for the email notices and the website page with the buy buttons. There will only be 50 spots at this weekend retreat.
Okay. Thank you for that. And we're back with Dr. Bauman. You know, Dr. Bauman, when we talk about the theory with antenna and a connection with the cosmic consciousness, do animal species, in your opinion, also have a similar antenna?
Well, medicine and our anatomy studies would tend to indicate that they've got similar anatomical dendrites, such as what we have as humans. Now, whether they have the same capabilities regarding brainwave emissions and whatnot, it is really, I guess, at this point needs to be researched. But I know one of my questions during my early research was whether animals were felt to have conscious abilities very similar to humans. And again, if you look at near-death studies, I thought it was cool that many people, when they were being resuscitated and crossed over into the near-death realm, they were often greeted by their deceased pets as well as by deceased relatives. And in quantum physics, consciousness has a lot of events linked to them in the quantum world, where consciousness, that question becomes important. So I've looked into it, and even though we don't know the real answer to that, I am hopeful, at least to some degree, that my loving pets have very similar capabilities.
Yeah. Well, one thing, and I think you, I believe you talked about it in Matter to Mind to Consciousness, was how many of the animal species have an uncanny instinct.
Yes.
So it's possible that, you know, this instinct actually resides in this cosmic consciousness, and the antenna may play a role in how it's conveyed to them, you know. So
absolutely. That's a great analogy, and that was one of the reasons I put it in there, is I think perhaps all animal species have this capability, and the cosmic consciousness would explain these phenomena.
Mm. I know when you talk about I know we mentioned that some of the stuff in the book is technical when it talks about anatomy. But one thing that caught my eye is when you were talking about the spinal cord, you know, you said the spinal cord was like a collection of small separate brains that are stacked on top of each other.
Yes.
Explain that a little bit.
Well, each level of our spinal cord, basically, like you say, is an individual brain. When we talk about discs, we know that the doctor will often say, well, you have a C5 disc or you have an L1 disc. And what he's indicating is that is the area of the spinal cord where the disc is pushing on, causing, you know, the pain and numbness and tingling that we get with these discs. Each of these levels of our spinal cord act as separate brains by the fact that they receive nerves from various regions of our body, and they can relay them either directly back to the same area as a reflex. You know, if you burn your finger, you quickly jerk the finger away from the heat source, and that occurs so quickly that we know that those relays don't actually go feed into the brain. It's a circuit from, you know, the finger to the spinal cord and then to the muscles of the arm where you jerk that finger back. It doesn't even have to go to the brain except as a later sequence of electrical activity or chemical impulses which tell the brain, ow, I burned my finger.
All right.
So that's where the individual brain philosophies come in.
Mm. And, of course, I remember reading about, as you were talking, I was thinking about the research with transplant patients, you know, where sometimes a particular organ was transplanted and the recipient of the organ took on a lot of the personality traits of the donor. So I wonder how that ties in where cell memory, I guess. You know, individual organs might have individual cell memories that can be transferred from one person to another.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I've like yourself, I've heard stories like that, and
yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense on the medical level, and I'm not sure it even makes sense on the, you know, what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah.
So I would not dismiss it, but I just have a big question mark. I'm not sure about that.
I know a lot of people talk about entanglement as an explanation for a lot of things we're talking about tonight. Entanglement and non-locality.
Yes.
Does that fit in with your theory?
Oh, it absolutely does.
Okay.
In fact, those were, you know, some of the concepts that really helped convince me as a skeptic that these phenomenon, that the science was real. When you talk about entanglement and non-locality, you're basically talking about the fact that the universe is entangled, the fact that the farthest corners of the universe are entangled and almost one with our locale, you know, wherever we happen to be. Non-locality is just a physics term indicating that nothing in the universe is local. There are various experiments, probably the most common one, which is talked about in regard to those qualities, is the EPR experiment, where E happens to stand for Einstein and the PR stand for two of his colleagues. What that experiment showed was that the universe is linked via communication or information instantaneously from one end to the other. Now, probably some of the immediate questions that arise is, well, Dr. Bauman, I understand that nothing can travel faster than the speed of light. And the answer to that is you're correct, that neither a particle nor a wave can travel faster than the speed of light. But apparently information or communication can. And so it's a conflict or a difficulty at grasping that particular phenomenon because of, again, the fact that as humans we're trapped within that dimension of time, and light waves or electromagnetic radiation are not. So you're absolutely right. It's one of the qualities that caused Nobel Prize-winning physicists like Richard Feynman to say that some of the experiments in quantum physics were basically impossible. You know, the results were impossible. And another Nobel Prize winner, Niels Bohr, to say that those people who are not shocked when they first come across quantum physics could not possibly have understood it. And it's because it's so, you know, the observations of so many quantum experiments are just ridiculous. They don't make any sense to us as humans who are trapped within this dimension of time.
Yeah, well, I remember the first time reading about the classic experiment where two photons are shot in opposite
exactly.
directions at the speed of light, and then you change the spin of one, and instantly you have the
it changes the spin of the other.
Yeah, so
right.
you know, I mean, you can't. It's hard to grasp that thinking in mainstream type of thinking. You know, it's the same way with the non-locality. I mean, a lot of people have a hard time thinking that that their consciousness extends outside of their skull. You know,
right. I think many of your listeners who have seen the movie The Butterfly Effect or heard about it, what that is arguing is that, you know, if you interfere with a butterfly's flight, you've basically
yeah.
altered events happening on the farthest corner of the universe. We just don't know what our actions are causing.
Mm. Now, excuse me, you obviously talk about a science-based spirituality.
Yes.
And one quote in your book that I like, and you said, I believe that my science-based spirituality is actually stronger than for those who believe in God based upon faith alone.
Yes.
So really what you're saying is that an understanding of science can actually reinforce one's spiritual beliefs.
Well, that's my hope. That's the reason I write, you know, these books. I have, as a practicing physician, I've seen too many people who have argued that, Dr. Bauman, you don't have to talk to me about spirituality. I believe in God, and nothing can shake my, you know, my spirituality. And yet, when you see these people in the emergency room and they're facing God for the first time with their heart attack, suddenly that faith-only based religion can get a little shaky. And I think if they can have a little bit more foundation through science, it can make a big difference.
Yeah, I've always said that, you know, there's a big difference between somebody believing and somebody knowing. I'm very often.
Yes.
Belief is based upon, you know, cultural influences or religious background or their upbringing. But when they say they believe in an afterlife, they're really saying that I hope there's an afterlife.
I agree with you completely.
But they want to see more evidence. They need to see more evidence, and that's where people like you come in.
I hope so.
All right, okay. So, and also, I mean, as you recognize by volunteering for hospice, is that you know, someone who has a fear of death, you know, will likely be reinforced, you know, by the reassurance that they still survive. They will
exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can see the hospice's side as well because, you know, you might get someone who's just a someone who wants to witness and convert, you know, people in hospice to their ways of thinking, and that's not right either.
Right. Well, you approach the subject of the afterlife certainly not as a preacher or a zealot, but, you know, you lay it out logically, and then you hope that the patient will form his or her own conclusions.
I hope that's how I'm received, yeah.
Yeah, right. And I know you mentioned on, you know, hospice that the thinking for most of the people that run hospice is that when it comes to spirituality is peace of mind. They try to convey peace of mind, you know. So, but actually, I don't know that you could really have peace of mind without believing that you will survive in some shape or form.
Well, that would be my feeling. I know, you know, I've been faced and seen people die, and I've often, before I became a spiritual being, I wondered how I myself would deal with death. And now that I believe, and again, based upon science, you know, I really have no fear at all. So it's very powerful.
Yeah. Well, do you remember having a fear of death when you were, before you went to medical school?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what's next for you?
I think all writers always have something on their plate, and especially with this great computer technology, if I get an idea, you know, you can just put a single sentence down someplace in your computer, and hopefully it won't be erased, and, you know, you can add to it over time, and eventually, if you're fortunate, I'll have another book.
Well, we certainly look forward to that new book. And
you're very
think
kind.
You're really on the right track, and I hope that people will acknowledge and support that manual that you wrote, because it's very important, not only in the hospice setting, where it's very important for the reason that there are so many people that are fearful, and you can allay a lot of fears, but really to the general public.
Yes.
That you know, is looking to turn that hope into an inner knowing. So I wanted to thank you so much for being with us tonight. We have been talking with Dr. T. Lee Bauman. That's B-A-U-M-A-N-N. Dr. Bauman is a medical doctor. His books include God at the Speed of Light, Matter to Mind to Consciousness, and the non-denominational handbook. I won't give you the full title because I don't remember it.
That's perfect.
on Amazon under Lee Bauman, and you'll see all of the books. And we look forward to speaking with you again real soon.
Well, I do too. Bob and Fran, thank you so much for having me. It's been a thrill.
Thank you.
It's been absolutely wonderful.
Have a great evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Fabulous interview that was.
Well, you know, and there's, we've had many medical doctors on the show, and it just shows you that there are some very cutting-edge progressive thinkers.
Right. But he spelled it out so logically, you want to just run and go get the book.
Right.
Okay, now my little prayer for the Gulf.
Okay.
Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, plankton, corals, algae, and all creatures in our Gulf of Mexico, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was by Matsuro Emoto on May 9th, 2010, right after the Gulf disaster. And now?
Time to say that our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.